If you travel very much, you understand that it used to be, that is if you're older, as I am, that when you would travel not too long ago, you would spend time calculating your route. Looking at a map, trying to decide how long it would take, what roads to take, what roads to avoid. There was a lot of things involved in that, and today, just take your phone out. Plug in the destination, wait about a half a second, and all of a sudden it pops up. You got the route, the number of miles, the exact time you're going to arrive, the exact number of hours it's going to take. Isn't that great? Well, sometimes believers think that we can just do that with our problems. And we know that the Bible is a map. We know it is to give us direction. I mean, it does say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. But is it the same thing? Can you just go to a concordance and just put a word in there and say, you know, I need some verses on this thing or this issue, this thing that I'm facing in my life? And then it just pops up, right? Is that the way you have your devotions? It's not that easy. Unbelievers, those without Christ, are utterly utterless, rudderless in this life, in navigating life. And that's understandable. But Christians, no excuse. How many of us consult the scriptures like a GPS device? Plug it in and expect voice guidance. There's so many in this world who think that for my problems, I just ask the Lord when I have a problem and I'm going to hear this voice from heaven. You'd be surprised how many people think that. A man I was talking to at the gym about a week ago, I was trying to witness to him, give him the gospel. And he said, you know, I know my relationship with God is right. And I said, can you tell me how you know that, please? He said, yeah, when such and such a person died, they said, I'll let you know that I'm okay if when you walk into a room and a book falls off the shelf. And he said, I walked into the room after he died, and he said, no kidding. He said, no kidding. A book fell off the shelf. Folks, that's what people expect. Did you know, and I strongly believe this, that a demon could push that book off the shelf? And yet that's how some people expect they're going to get guidance from God. And then when it happens, it's a sign. And I could not talk to him any further. His mind was closed because he had had a sign. He doesn't read his Bible. I couldn't tell him anything out of the Bible. He had had a sign. And I would dare to say that most people in the world today believe that that's how God's going to guide them. And unfortunately, many Christians think the same way with their Bibles. Some treat the Bible as if, Lord, you know what I'm going through. I'm going to open it up and I'm going to do this. And then they look at it and they go, wow, I didn't know it meant that. That's really encouraging. Because they're taking what's there that is talking about something totally different and saying, well, I can read that into my problem right now. Like a man once told me, Pastor, I know it's time for us to move because I read in Jeremiah, I was reading the other day and it talked about how they packed their bags and went to another place. He said, that was God's sign to me that we're supposed to go down to Texas. That's how many people think that they're going to get guidance from God. Simply read your Bible, maybe. Simply read it and we'll end up at the right place. They seem to get by when they're younger, because mom and dad are there to guide. Or maybe there's a pastor or a teacher or some godly friends who help out. But when those people aren't available, they are easily susceptible to those who will cause them to wander and cause them to go astray. Did you know that the principal method of Satan is deception? To cause people to wander, Listen to these verses and listen for the word deceive. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's his principal method. Revelation 20, verse 3, he was cast into the bottomless pit and shut up, and a seal was set upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. Revelation 20, 7 and 8, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. His principal method is deception. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, praise God, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, never to deceive and cause people to wander again. But then there's this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, do we live in the latter times? Some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits, that is, spirits who cause to wander, and doctrines of devils. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. The root for the word deceive in the Bible, in the New Testament, means to cause to wander, to cause you to go astray, to mislead. And the root cause for believers being deceived is they don't know their Bible. They read it, but they don't know it. They have no insight. Jesus once said to the Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection, remember, and in refuting their question, he said in Matthew 22:29, ye do err, and that's the word for you've been deceived. You wander, you're led astray, not knowing the scriptures. In other words, Jesus is saying the reason you're led astray is because you don't know your Bible. In the parallel passage, it goes on to say in Mark 12:26-27, have you not read in the book of Moses? And sometimes I want to say to people, have you not read in the book of Joshua? Have you not read in the book of Ruth? Have you not read in the book of Esther? Have you not read in the book of Revelation? Have you not read in the book of Ephesians? Well, Pastor, there's so many books. That's right. But they, as you pick up the principles from God's word, you will be led by God, by the principles of God's word, in the decisions that you make. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto Moses, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then listen to the conclusion that Jesus gives by reading this passage from Moses. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. You wander because you don't know your Bible. Now, I typically would not have come to that conclusion just by reading my Bible. But Jesus is giving them tremendous insight into that passage. From reading Moses, you would have to logically conclude that God is the God of the living and not of the dead. God expects you to think when you read his word, to make application. I was talking to a man this week, counseling him. And I said, when you read your Bible, do you meditate on it? He said, I don't know what meditation means. So I explained to him what meditation is. I said, you can think of it this way. It's like a positive form of worrying. Have you ever worried before? Oh, yeah, all the time. I said, then you know how to meditate. Because think about it from the book of another book in the Bible where it may refer to, think about it from this book, from this passage, from this other verse. Compare scripture to scripture. That's a positive form of worrying. They bring it back up and they chew on it, swallow it again, bring it back up and chew on it. I said, that's what happens when you should read your Bible. You read it throughout the day, you bring it back up in your mind and you think. Proverb, I want you to read to know today. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And the context. But now, look at the concept. And it's communicated by understanding that one word, vision. Most people have a wrong interpretation of this verse, okay? That's not what that's referring to. Let's look at this. You'll understand that word vision when you understand what I'm going to say is its derivation, where God, and he's called the seer, S-E-E-R, otherwise known as a prophet. There you go. Verse 6, he said, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither." What have we? So he's called the man of God here. Verse 8, "And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way." Now, under aforetime in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come, and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was beforetime called special understanding." That's where the word comes from. Vision. One who has special, the spiritual, the mental eye. I'm going to use this word. Insight. How often have you said of somebody, why can't he see that what he is doing is wrong? Now, you don't, in a physical sense, you're using it in a mental, spiritual sense. I don't see it that way. Helen Keller, who was born blind, once said, "The only thing worse than being blind, but not with the spiritual eye." In other words, many people have sight, but no insight, no vision. Here's the word that you could substitute for vision in Proverbs 29:18. Divinely given vision. This is not, as so often is understood, the sense of a vision for the future with the idea of setting goals. That's not what it has to do. Veiling. Revelation refers to something that is unveiled, a revealing of something that could not be otherwise discovered or known. It's what mankind gleans through observation, reason, and logic. In fact, you get to the end of the Bible, and you read that 66th book, and you find out what the title is. Young person, maybe somebody who's younger, can you tell me what the last book of the Bible is? What's it called? Revelation. And the first verse starts off with the revelation of Jesus Christ. He has revealed something to us. The fact that vision refers to God's revealed word is confirmed by its contrast. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law. God's word gives insight, not just into the future, but into the past and into the present. Folks, we are so easily led astray because we're not in the word. And he said, well, we go to it when we're having a big problem. It's one thing if you're always in the word and one day you say, Lord, as I read today, here are the issues I'm facing. And I often pray what you find in Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. That's what Jesus did to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I would challenge you to pray that. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I've given you these verses in weeks past. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And go to God's word prayerfully for guidance each day. And here's something that is very true, is that sometimes you don't even know what you need that day. And you say, Lord, show me what I may need today. And then later that day, you recall what you read, not even knowing that you were going to face that issue, but God providentially led you. Seek the Lord. Meditate upon his word.